Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nail It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I'm Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And we are pleased to go into an area of discussion which some of you guys may be familiar with. We have a guest in the studio. Before I get into my guest, I think we often go through our days, assuming nothing out of the ordinary is going to happen. And then poof, something happens we didn't foresee, we didn't consider, and that's life.
Yeah.
In the space that we're in, we don't like those things to happen as much, but we expect them. That's construction. You could have intended to pour today and we had rain. Mm-hmm. You could have intended to take off somebody's roof and the sky and the weather's not working with you, or you may be in the middle of that and then it happens anyway.
Yeah.
So the word for the day that we're going to start off the conversation with, it's going to have to be preparation. We're inside the hurricane season. Mm-hmm. Insurances are part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. But where we're going with the insurances is not the typical direction. This guest today is going to help navigate us through the specialized area of insurance that Family Guardian offers to the public. So without further ado, I'm going to ask my guest to introduce himself to the listening audience and the Bahamas.
Good afternoon. My name is Martin Trico. I'm the manager of the mortgage department at Family Guardian Insurance Company. Our mortgage department is located at the corporate office, which is on the Montague District on East Bay Street, number 1 Village Road. So Village Road and Shirley Street, right on the corner.
There we go.
And it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for the Family Guardian being one of our sponsors. So I want to kick off the show very early by asking the question, what is the special difference between a regular residential mortgage from any of the commercial banks and a residential mortgage offered by Family Guardian?
Well, number 1, turnaround time. Normally when you go to the bank, it's going to take weeks, it's going to take months for an application to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to Canada, mm-hmm. you have to go to the Caribbean, mm-hmm. Trinidad.
To get approvals.
We have a 10 working day turnaround time.
Wow.
Once all of your information is in, you have all meet all the criteria that's on the form,
mm-hmm.
You submit your application, you should get it back in within 10 working days.
10 days.
And yes. What makes it 10 days?
10
what,
days.
What's
that's impressive.
Special about Family Guardian?
Well, it's all in-house.
There
it's
you
all
go.
In-house. We don't, like I said, we don't have to go to Canada. We don't have to wait for Canada to respond. And then, of course, you don't have to spend tons of dollars having to reapply. It's a one-time.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be mm-hmm. happy to hear that.
Yes.
Yes.
The other thing is, if you don't mind my saying, you mentioned it earlier, Leonard, that not many people are familiar with Family Guard and mortgages.
No.
So we've been doing it for over, we're actually celebrating our 60th year.
What?
Family Guard has been around for 60 years.
Wow.
We've basically been providing mortgage services for the majority of that time. A lot of people still aren't familiar with it, so it's great to be in this type of area to speak about it.
It is.
You know, and get more traction.
So why do you think that is, though? I mean, as I'm looking at the rates, I'm looking at everything is, you know, around average to some of your competitors in the commercial banking space. But for 60 years, you've been active in that space, offering the services with a quick turnaround time. I could tell you the mortgage turnaround time is not 10 days if you go to any typical commercial bank. It's not 10 days. Yeah. So that being an advantage that you have, and all the approvals being local, why do you think that a lot of persons don't know? Like, oh, I didn't know the Family Guardian did residential mortgages.
Well, it's an investment arm of Family Guardian. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we actually promote.
Oh,
as
the advertisement
much as
of
life
it,
and health insurance.
Okay, yeah.
So our main focus is life and health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Mortgage is an investment arm, another way to generate some type of income for the company. So we have a very small staff. We're not large like the banks. So we have a limited amount of persons that can actually see individuals.
But the benefit from coming to you, what you've just said in the last like 2 minutes, I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't want to come to you for mortgage financing, to be perfectly honest.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are just, I guess, familiar with the banks.
They are.
I don't think they're comfortable with the banks.
There
were other insurance companies that did provide mortgage services at one time, but I guess it wasn't their niche, so they kind of strayed away
from it.
Well,
it has to be your niche after 60 years.
60 years, that's a long time.
Well, I've been doing it for 30 years, you know, I like to think I know what I'm talking about, you know.
You wanted to make sure we didn't think that you were 60 or 70 or 80 years old,
right?
There you go.
Well, you know, so... but yeah, you have experienced individuals too. So we're here to educate.
Yeah.
One of the things I like to do is educate persons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't just walk into Family Guardian and sit down for an appointment and just say, well, do I qualify?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here to educate you, to teach you the ropes, tell you things that you're not even familiar with, you know, especially about contractors, you know, what to look out for, those various stages and all that sort of stuff in construction. You have to be there. You have to watch your work. If you don't watch it, these guys are going to, you know. So,
well, it's a great investment that somebody's making. So I don't understand why somebody would not be there to inspect, to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think they rely on inspectors and they rely on the Ministry of Works and all that sort of stuff. And they put too much faith in the contractor. And then, of course, that's when they're led astray. So, you know, and bear in mind, too, financial institutions are not on site watching your work.
No, they're not.
I understand, but they have appraisers or whatever it is that come in and do the inspections for them,
along
with the Ministry of Works.
After the fire.
When you come to us, too, we give you a breakdown of what you should look for.
Right.
And at the same time, going through that breakdown, I'm going to show you what to look out for.
Martin, here's the thing I've always had held of you too. You know, the banks, or in your case, Family Guardian, somehow insert themselves in the management of the project along with the client. And that's what it is. You're managing the project. But here's the thing, like I mentioned before, the client you can only manage what you understand.
Right.
You can't manage what you don't understand. I can't manage insurance mortgage. I don't understand how to write a mortgage for insurance. So I'm building a two-story house. You're going to have more questions off the top of our heads and an easy answer. It's foreign to you. Mm-hmm. You technically can't manage that to the best of your ability. You could see, you could observe, you could look.
We're going to
set up to educate you.
Do payouts
we're going to have to educate you and even every single thing of what we're doing. So I think the way... What I like to look at is that the way we do construction mortgages here, there to me should always be another individual representing the lending institution as a part of that relationship, whether it's a QS, project manager, somewhere, because I think you put a lot of onus on the mortgagee to be an expert in the construction of their own home.
Wouldn't your appraiser list help with some of those things that you have? Because these are persons that you rely on to feed proper information to the client?
We do have a select number of persons that are inspectors.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to construction,
yeah,
we only have about four to five individuals on that list of appraisers that we have.
And those are family guardian persons?
Yes.
There you go. Okay,
and,
so you do.
And,
okay.
And they're certified appraisers. They're also inspectors.
Right.
They're not quantity surveyors or anything like that.
And that's
like
what
you said,
wanted to mention.
Right.
But at the same time, when the client comes in to see us, I also indicate to them, listen, I know you're not familiar with construction.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know someone that
is
familiar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who can go at the site with you every other day or
mm-hmm.
every day and visit that site with you.
Mm-hmm.
Walk through it
mm-hmm.
and then you guys talk about it.
Yeah.
I said, you don't just sit there and rely on or the contractor to say, oh yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Because, of course, when it turns around, you have to terminate that contractor
mm-hmm.
and hire another one, which you know they find fault with, you know, bad work that others did.
Or just find fault.
Yeah.
Right.
I often tell
most
people.
Most contractors don't like following another contractor because you don't know the sins that are hidden.
Right. And also, again, another good thing about coming to Family Guardian, mm-hmm. we're accessible. So you can call us on the phone and say, look, I went down to my site today and I saw this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, should this be? Now, I'm not a contractor,
mm-hmm.
right? But I know quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but I know a bit. So,
right.
you know, if you have a concern, call me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, well, listen, stop the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Have a conversation with the contractor and sort that out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't move on with the work unless you have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're accessible. You know,
yeah.
it's not like you go to the bank, you got qualified, and that's it.
They'll never see that
individual anymore because you call the banks and they don't answer the phone.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now,
so,
I'm glad you brought that point up and I'm glad you clarified that. Here's part of my, and I'm going deeper into this thing because this is beyond the conversation that we're having here.
Mm-hmm.
I need the public to understand, and I'm going to go through a little explanation, what an appraiser is, what an estimator is, what a quantity surveyor is.
Yeah.
And because of the geography of where we are, being that we're one a Commonwealth nation, we inherited some things from the British. Appraisals in the British system and Canada, they use appraisals. American system don't use appraisals. You either use estimators or cost engineers. I get schooled in America, so forgive me if I tend to lean towards costing engineering for that reason. The RICS process to get an appraisal, if you're inside a real estate and other building professional, you could go through the qualifications and get them. The challenge I've always seen, and I know 99.9 names on this list, they're all friends of mine, people I've done business with, XYZ, they are great, like Martin said, in appraising the value of something. And here's where we always argue. An appraisal of value is not a determination of cost.
Correct.
That's where we often differ. In fact, if you look on an average appraisal report by a very good appraiser, it'll have a value approach
mm-hmm.
or a cost approach.
Yes.
Estimates
mm-hmm.
by a contractor, and I want the public to understand, would be based
estimate.
On cost approach.
Mm-hmm.
The appraiser gives a value approach because he's including the particulars of the community, the recent sale values, all those
mm-hmm.
things. So he'd say, without even this house being built, this is going a house next to you, Debbie,
mm-hmm.
floor of land, has a 4-bed, 2-bath house. I estimate this should cost, this will have a value of X.
Right.
A value of X.
But
then they go to Debbie.
And
give Debbie the plans.
And I do a
for
quote.
The same house, and you do a quote.
I do a quote, not
and
an
your
estimate.
And quote, Debbie's quote, will sometimes be higher right. or lower than the value.
Right.
And this is where, I'm speaking as mm-hmm. president of the Contractors Association, this is where the conversations between the mortgage facility institutions in the country, which is the banks, and the construction and value engineering community need to come together. because those are two different things. They could never be the same.
Right.
You could never equate value to cost.
And an estimate, if you take your car
in, cost.
If you take your car in, right, mm-hmm. and you take it in for a service, and they give you an estimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Body work, they give you an estimate. It may end up costing you more than that because they gave you an estimate of what they saw. And sometimes that's why a quote.
Yeah.
I prefer to do a quote
a
as
quote.
Opposed to an estimate, right? Yeah, that's just me.
But for the deeper conversation we're going to get back to you, I just want the public to understand this. And this is where I spoke to names on this list this week about some reports and things that they're trying to look at. If I estimate your house and you value your house, those two will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Value takes in account the environment, the aesthetics, the landscaping, the community, the house inside. You could have the same square foot house in Bantown and the same square foot house in Blair East. You think their value will be the same? The value will not be the same. So that's why the value approach is not exacting to estimate. When I came from college, I also said this. If I buy a block and I take it to Lyford Key, and that block costs $268, and I buy a block and I take it to Bantown, that block is $268.
Mm-hmm.
Cost is a universal
right.
average.
Mm-hmm.
Value is subjective to area on what realtors also say, location. So when contractors present estimate costs compared now to appraisers' valuation, this is where the disconnect happens from the beginning in the banking situation. Just this year, I refused 10 jobs, all over $1 million. Because I said, here's my thing. My cost is this. Your estimated value is this. I can't build this with that. It doesn't add up mathematically. And I went through the steps of what it costs. And they said, well, this is based on our formula. I said, I don't care about your formula.
Formulas.
Then you should build it.
Yeah.
I have to build it.
JBR, when they sell blocks, they don't have a formula.
They don't have a formula.
They just raise
it costs what it costs.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because mm-hmm. you spoke about a block being the same price in the East and also in the West.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that a contractor mm-hmm. charges more to build a house in the West to build in Bantown?
I charge the same.
Most don't. Well, some don't. But here's where you could get away with it. So I like the question I want, and I'm glad we're going to answer this on the air. If I build a house, for an example, in a Western area, right? And let's say it's a 1,000-square-foot house, and I buy all the materials, the same 1,000-square-foot house, from the same supplier that I'm going to build inside the Grove or inner city or Bantown, right? Mm-hmm. Presumably, they should cost the same thing, except for one condition that you're not applying.
Materials?
The condition, no, the materials are exactly the same. The level of scrutiny and quality standard that the owner most times mm-hmm. expect, and also the comparative nature of what you're putting there is going to be different. All right, the home inside Bantown, we buy the same blocks, that's the same. We buy cement, that's the same. Roof, where we start to change. 25-year asphalt shingle, they may have wallable shingles on this roof because it's inside this Western area.
Yes.
Change now, windows. I go to some vendor locally and I buy a nice $300 window. So for some reason, all my neighbors have Jelwin, or all of them have a Marvin window. Guess what I want in my house? Marvin window. You could have the same thing. But the product will look different in the community where everyone's kind of staying the same. So it's not that the cost is different. The determining factors of what the client often wants to be around the neighborhood. I built 5 houses in San Diego, and I can tell you, they costed exactly what the client wanted them to look like. The neighbor has this. I want the same thing. They want the same thing. The countertops, I suggested one time we could go with a nice... I suggested we could go with a nice Korean. No. I must have marble.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors come over here for a party. I can't have Korean. So those are the things that mm-hmm. make it. But to your point, the fact of the matter is, on purely factual basis, a house in Bantown and a house in the West should cost
up to belt cost to be belt the cost, same.
The same thing. And in our costing mm-hmm. structure that I do,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter where your location is. It mm-hmm. costs what it costs.
Right.
Now the layering in of the homeowners' desires so, changes right. those.
So there's a couple of things that could actually adjust that cost. Like the companies that are out east that are building suppliers, they will deliver for free.
Yes,
right?
In the center of town.
Right. No, they'll deliver all the way to Lifer Key for
free. Sometimes, yeah.
But if you buy something today and you want it tomorrow or the next day, it might be 2 weeks before you can get it. So I always, unfortunately, have to charge to have somebody pick up materials
in a truck
and take them.
Take it over.
Because I need them now. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't give my client a 4-year time frame to do the job,
no,
right? I did like 3 months. So, you know, so those are the kind of things. That's the kind of thing that could add on to it. It's not huge, not like his Marvin Windows as opposed to.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know.
So what?
Look at my list, though.
I'm looking at your list.
All right. And you see where we have the asterisk.
I saw the asterisk.
Four individuals. Now, I don't want you to call their names or anything.
No,
You can tell me later on. Tell
me
on the radio.
You got this asterisk.
But those are the individuals that we use for construction purposes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't use everyone on this list for construction purposes.
Okay.
These are the gentlemen we're familiar with. Okay. We've had experience with. They sit down and they talk to us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have conversations. So the client goes, meets with them, takes their plans, take their estimate, and they have a discussion with these individuals. The appraiser then says, well, yes, the house can be built for this, or I think it's a little too low, I think it's a little too high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what we're looking at is, so, you know, we lend on the lower of value to cost.
Why?
Because.
The lower of value to cost.
Value or cost. Whichever one is lower.
Lower.
Right.
Why?
Well, it puts us at risk. Okay. We also don't want we want to avoid the client having to come back to us to borrow more money. Cost overruns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have to avoid that because if an individual comes to us and we qualify you at the max we can lend you, and then you come back a few months later after the construction starts and say, oh,
you need more.
I need more money.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here? Something happened between you and the contractor. So, of course, that's where the inspector comes in.
Mm-hmm.
He does his numbers and he basically tells us, yes, this house can be built for this cost.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to proceed. He has to put that on his report.
The
that's what we ask
inspector,
for.
Yeah. You mean the QS?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you refer to it as a QS, but I'm talking about the persons on our list.
Yeah.
So they are also, we refer to them as appraisers / inspectors.
But they're not.
No. No, well, no, but they're familiar with construction.
They are familiar with construction.
They've gone through the process. They have a lot of experience in it. Now,
they have a lot of experience.
I agree with you. We don't.
None of the individuals, except for one who I know, have not built
a home. No.
Things.
Right.
Now, and I just said a grain of salt, not to disrespect anyone who was appraisal, and I speak very candidly about this. Debbie does kitchens, renovation all day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much schooling you got somewhere. She could tell you down to the nail. I could look at your kitchen. Yeah, it's probably cost me about $15,000 to renovate that. You could say, I can cost me $5,000. And she'd sit back and laugh and watch you lose your shirt trying to do it.
Well, I've been building since dinosaurs roamed.
But you understand what I'm saying, right? So building professionals, and this is what I have to always advocate. We build every day. We don't sit in offices and guess what things cost. We build every day. Not to take any away from them. So when we challenge them, it's based on the fact that in our experience, let me give you an example. An appraiser report, not on this list, actually is, presented an appraisal for a home in West Winds, right?
Mm-hmm.
2,000 square foot home. Say, this is what it should cost. And I did an estimate. All the materials required to build that same home. My estimate was more than their appraisal by some $100,000. And I say, that's impossible to build this home that I've estimated for that appraisal value.
Mm-hmm.
So I called and I say, tell me, what do you have for, yes, we have 2,000 square foot of tiles. What is your estimated value of the tiles? Supplying and installing, setting thin set, finishing and grouting. $2.25 a square foot.
What?
I said, do you realize the tiles alone about 250. Yeah. That's just the tiles. That was the all-in number.
$4.
So that's just one line item that absolutely knocks off the budget. Wow. So what do you have estimated for the windows and doors? Windows and doors wasn't bad. It's about probably about $2,000 less than what I had. But if we start to go down the list, mm-hmm. and see, I'm pedantic like Debbie. I got 500 item estimate. I don't miss nothing. So when I go through any line, okay, that's an X, that's off. That's what costing approach would we do.
But that's where...
And all don't do it.
Yeah, that's where the appraiser or whatever failed to go through the list.
Mm-hmm.
So if he went through the list and saw the type of materials that they were using, then he would know that the value would have gone up and the cost would have
It should
have
be
gone
a different
up.
Place.
So, right.
Yeah, it should be different. So
yeah.
So I say that just to say that the professionals in that space have to be very astute, mm-hmm. have to treat every project as an individual project and not a blanket.
Right.
Because when you go to the contractors, we approach it from an estimated cost based on us calling the suppliers, okay, I have this, I need 15 feet of rafters at 24. We literally call off every single mm-hmm. member we need and get a cost. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, the appraisers don't do that. They don't take 3 weeks to estimate a job because we called every supplier, got everything quantified,
and
we got an estimate. Yeah. And you sit down and you pull in the spreadsheet and you get an appraisal report, they will never be the same. So I'm just saying that to defend the contractors that there needs to be a greater, after the fact now, you have your appraisal report and I have my estimate. Now let's sit together. And this is what happens with me and my clients and my jobs I did. All right, now let's sit together. Let's go through it. What do you have for floor? What do you have for walls? What do you have for ceilings? What do you have for paint? What do you have? And we go through the whole list. And when we see that we have this number is different, I say, oh, I missed that. Or, I had a this price. If I called them, they could get a this price. And so we leveled up on each other. And I think that's the desire. I'd like to see the working relationship between the contractors, the appraisers, and the lending institution. It has to be a marriage.
Right. There's something else I want to mention, too, is that a lot of banks will actually underestimate what a house is going to cost. So a client will go in with an estimate or three estimates or whatever. I'll say three. One of them is 200, one's 250, and the other one's 400,000, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, this could easily be built for $200,000.
They go with the lowest.
Yeah.
But there's no way it can. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would probably be the 400. Lender would probably be the 400 because we know exactly
what it takes to build it.
Yeah.
So we go by the report.
And that's why we speak into it like this.
Yeah.
The QS, right? Because I've seen a few QS reports, mm-hmm. right? Unfortunately, they weren't on our list.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
But a QS also, in their report, estimates value.
No, they do.
Not because they're not certified to do that.
Estimate value. No, I agree.
Right.
A QS should estimate costs.
Right.
So value is an appraiser's job. And this is why I'm saying, Martin, the reverse.
Right.
An appraiser shouldn't estimate costs.
Costs, right.
So now in this discussion, I want the public to understand and listen carefully. When you get an appraisal, that's an estimated value. If you get your QS to give you a cost,
that's going
to
be the cost.
That's going to be the cost of something, a very negative cost. Mm-hmm. And when you go to your contractor, you're going to get a cost. We don't estimate value. I don't know what something's going to sell for, but I do know what it's going to cost to build.
And then also when you get those costings, I don't know whether they put on the percentage that the contractor is going to add on to it.
What is their margin? Did they put on?
Yeah.
We know what we put on, and we're very open with it. My margin is 10% to 12%. It's what it is.
I would make a recommendation to the QS individuals to get certified with BREEA.
So why? They can be why would BREEA?
So they can do valuations as well.
Mm.
Okay, so it's all in one, mm-hmm. and then I don't have to go and use an appraiser on this list, like you said.
You should be using the costing engineer
to undervalue all the costs.
Yeah, that
you
makes
know.
Sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does make sense.
And I don't think it's that hard, you know. So that would be my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have quantity surveyors on our list.
No,
as you can see,
no,
right?
No.
No. But like I told you, when I see a QS's report, they put in a value.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how did you determine that if you're not certified to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful because they also put their education and who they're registered with at the, at the end of their report. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking and I'm looking, and you're not certified, you're not licensed to do this. Mm-hmm. Be careful when you do these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But like I said, just go and get approved with BREEA, because I think BREEA is the only institution, correct? Am I right or am I wrong?
And you're correct. You are correct. Mm-hmm. And that's because appraisals comes with real estate purchases and sales and whatnot. Right. And so that's why everyone on this list I know has a real estate license. I know everything in the middle on this list. And they have a real estate license because they are members of BREEA and they're certified to do that. And the QSs and costing engineers I know are not realtors, so they didn't have no reason to do BREEA, but they may be RICS certified, which is the British Standard Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors. They may have that, but they don't have BREEA. Mm-hmm. But the guys who have BREEA don't have RICS, which is the qualifying standard for the UK. Yeah. So there's a marriage, there's a conversation that needs to happen. I don't want us to stick on that point so much.
Yes.
I think the conversation we're having, though, is about you knowing what you're getting with a mortgage, you understanding the process of building your home. And for me, I don't like to see that undue burden. And I'm glad to hear the Family Guardian kind of steps and walks a person through the process, because I think other banks throw you to the wolves. They give you a mortgage, they call us back when the lease is finished.
Right.
I think Family Guardian's approach is managing your process of building, like a family, if you would say, so you could get the best result. But I've seen first-time builders get a mortgage. That's the last time they walk in the bank doors. The project's completed. Some things went right, wrong, were different. And then they're back in the bank doors, could hardly get to speak to the loan officer, and having a horrible time. So I'm glad that Family Guardian's approach is different.
No, you don't have that problem with us. Yeah. We're very accessible. You can, and we also have an office in Freeport.
Yeah.
Same facility, same practice. Mm-hmm. Everything is the same in Freeport.
How's the approach? I see you got some rates. How's the approach different? Let's say I live inside Freeport and I need a residential mortgage. What is different if I was applying for a residential mortgage with Family Guardian in Nassau? Is there any different? I know some banks treat Family Island.
Well,
they do.
Unfortunately, we do not finance the Family Islands. No.
Why? Let's talk about that.
You were talking about value too. I'm going to go there in a second, but when you're talking about the QS and everything, we also, our lenders, have to be careful that once we pay out this money on this house, we have to make sure that we can sell this house if the account goes into default.
Of course.
All right? Risk.
That's true.
So be careful how much you lend out, and if the work is not completed or it's faulty work and the house ends up being crooked, we cannot sell it.
I don't know if you cannot sell it.
We're going to take a loss.
You could sell a house.
The majority
on
of
an
homes,
island, you could sell a house on an island.
But banks, of course, are getting the money from somebody else, right? Family Guardian.
Not Family Guardian.
Yeah. Family Guardian are funding their own.
Right. Oh, you're using your own marbles.
Yeah. We use our own funds.
Yes. Which is rare.
Yeah.
So we're taking on a bigger risk.
I understand that.
Even if that account goes into default.
To default. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we go and inspect that house, and that house was poorly constructed, we're going to have a problem selling it. Mm-hmm. And by that time, we're going to take bigger losses.
Bigger losses.
So we also have to make sure that that value always exceeds the cost. Or like I said,
the loan to risk value.
Yes.
Okay. I get it. So, but let's go back to that.
Yeah, you did have a question about Freeport.
Mm-hmm. No, not about Freeport, in general, because was looking at some property in Family Islands, and this other lending institution said the same thing. Oh, we don't do mortgages for this property in Abaco. And I'm like, why?
Value, market value. Okay. And Abaco, you said it. Especially too. Freeport. Hurricane Dorian.
And?
Okay.
And?
The value
in
of properties.
In Nassau, hurricane, what's the one that rocked us back in what, 70-something? I mean, why do we say hurricanes hit Abaco, hurricanes hit Grand Bahama, hurricanes hit Nassau, Betsy, Nassau. Why aren't we talking about valuation downgraded properties in Nassau?
Well, you got to work on experience and what has happened. What did we learn from the last hurricane?
We didn't do anything different in
Houses
Nassau because of Betsy.
Poorly.
I can tell you that.
Buildings were built badly.
Yes. Okay, and in Freeport especially, but properties.
I disagree. Both statements by both of you guys.
Why?
Because there are structures that didn't suffer any damage.
That's true. Albuquerque.
That is true.
But,
yeah.
But the damaged ones were not built properly.
No, the damaged ones were, and I don't want to say built badly. They were not built to withstand the hurricane
force winds.
That they met. That's the honest answer to it. See this room here? Mm-hmm. This room is fine inside this building. You take out the exterior walls, and this room can't withstand a good stiff breeze. But it's not designed to withstand elements outside of this space. And I have to say, because when you're building anything, think about what the intent is. Think about what your intention is for this home. How well do you want a home? I went to college in Central North Florida. Every year coming home, there's going to be a hurricane. We sure hit Central Florida. Mm-hmm. And I drive between Ocala and Gainesville. I will see communities of flattened timber houses. And when I'm coming back from the next year, going back to school, they're all built again.
Yeah.
You know why? They don't intend them to resist the hurricane. They vacate their home. They get destroyed. They get insurance payment. They build them again.
But. You know what happened in the last hurricane, though? What was the one that hit Florida? A lot of the insurance companies went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So they can't rebuild those houses anymore.
They didn't reinsure. That's what they should have done.
Well,
they
aren't
insured or what they did.
You know what happens
during
a hurricane.
But they know the cycle.
Rates go up.
I know.
You can't afford it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you do?
I know.
If you can't get insurance, you can't get a mortgage.
That's right. Now, but to your point, now let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, when we get a set of plans, and we're going to get into construction a little bit, I get a set of plans. And because of the experience of Dorian on Abaco and Grand Bahama, we now have reinforcements and all the foundation coming straight up through the other side of the windows and the other side and the rain board, and you got porto cells. And the cost has gone up. And here's what the challenge is. The cost has gone up. I can't speak to the value. The cost has gone up. Mm-hmm. But somehow, the lending institution, not Family Guardian possibly, still think, they pull up their data sheet from 2019. Oh, this house should cost that. Nah, the house can't. Did you look at it? Here's what you know the bankers do. They don't look at your drawings at all. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. They ask you to go get estimates, and they ask you to present them. You don't go and review the person's plan. That's not what you're there for. You're financing.
Right.
But you don't look at the plans and say, okay, this needs to have reinforced concrete, this needs to have this concrete, this shear wall is here. And you look at the structural design of this all. And when we do that, when we estimate all that and say, nah, buddy, this house is going to cost you $450,000. No, my appraisers say this should cost me $299,000. Yeah, but did he look at the drawings? Did he actually costed what the drawing said you need to put in this house to withstand a 200-mile-per-hour wind now? And the answer is going to be no. Mm-hmm. So I think the conversations need to be at a table. And this is what happened 30 years ago, and Debbie used to talk about this. The contractor, the appraiser,
and the bank,
the banker, and the cost engineer.
Sit together.
Yeah. Because I'm guaranteeing you will have four different approaches to what something should cost.
And all three signed the contract, and that way all three had a vested interest in making sure that that contract actually happened. That was First Home and Finco back in the day.
Yeah,
I agree. Then they, back in 2009, RBC had some financial things with people walking away from mortgages, and then they stopped that. So now it's only
the bank and the mortgagee.
The bank and the client, and then the client has to have their own contract with the contractor. The contractor has no guarantee that they'll get any money.
Right.
You know, yeah, I have to go back to one thing that you said, because I said the buildings were built badly.
Yes, and I disagree.
No, okay.
Not all of them.
Well, all right. The ones not that I them. Saw that blew down, and I went there and I went there and spent the day taking photographs of all the buildings. The one building that I'm speaking of now is where the foundation was done, concrete foundation, and it had the bolts coming up from the concrete, to hold the wood, right? Mm-hmm. But they're supposed to be at a certain distance apart. They were not. They were random all the way around. Mm-hmm. And how did I know all of this? Well, because the building was 100 feet away, because they hadn't even put washers and the nuts on top of the bolts. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing to hold the building onto that foundation. That was a badly built building.
That was an example of a badly built building.
The ones that I'm talking about.
I also went there recently after hurricane, and part of a bank wasn't there no more, and I could tell you that wasn't poorly built either, but it wasn't built to withstand 15-foot waves throwing itself against it at 200 miles per hour. And the bank is on the water, and I think we all know what bank it is inside Marsh Harbor.
Who inspected the building?
Family Islands hardly ever had anybody inspection.
Okay, so you got to enforce your rules.
And that's what we've always been saying.
And that's another reason why we don't finance in the Family Islands.
Because you would have to pay.
Because you understand that the inspector is lacking.
Right, but there's also property values. Market value just fluctuates.
Why?
Up and down.
Why does it fluctuate so much?
Every time a hurricane comes, the value goes down.
I don't understand that.
Well, that's true. A lot of people after a hurricane will go in and buy a fire sale for properties and houses and stuff.
Land is fixed to the earth. Why did the value go down? I'm trying to understand it right now. You can't make me understand.
So you have a piece of property and it's on the water side. Yeah. And of course, we have hurricanes. But now we know what can happen in the destruction. Right. So therefore, that property value being on the water may not be as valuable as being on a hill. Well, I'd rather be on a hill.
Coming to the Bahamas buying a waterfront home, they don't seem to believe that.
Freeport was a prime example of that because Freeport is all flat land.
Mm-hmm.
And it flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at one time, canal front properties were worth a good price.
Good much, yeah.
And they've depreciated in value to the max because the majority of the homes were damaged on the canal front.
Yeah.
So what do you do? And Abaco, I think the same thing because a lot of the people that were closer to the waterfront got flooded.
Yeah, but you didn't expect a 25-foot wave.
No, you didn't. But those houses were built 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the code has changed. And then, what is happening here? The banks are losing money because the people aren't paying the loans anymore. They say, hold on, I got a house here. And number two, they didn't pay their insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot rebuild the house.
Or the contractor hadn't renewed it after 6 months and the hurricane happened. Yeah.
So a number of things. Mm-hmm. And of course, on the Family Islands, I guess the business or the industry
changes.
So income potential depreciates at times and it goes up when development starts, it goes down when development is finished.
I'm just defending the Family Islands. I think we beat the Family Islands, all of the Family Islands, with that stick a little too harshly. Why I say that is that. So in the construction community, there's a demand for housing on Abaco because there's a lot of development.
Yeah.
You could get an average of $1,500 to $2,500 for one-bedroom apartment on Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
That's a high yield.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that I have a property that I could put several units on and I could build that out, but this property is going to depreciate based on a hurricane coming through and other storms not. But the minute that comes through, I need 1,000 people to come there to live, to rebuild the community. That's money that's always turning over there. You can't build houses fast enough there to supply the demand for housing.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I understand, but I think sometimes we disenfranchise the Family Islands and across the board. I wouldn't even talk about Andres. I don't even know how a bank approaches financing the project in Andres or a Miguana or somewhere further away from the center, even though they may not have had a hurricane. But I think we value things close to Nassau because it's where the capital of the country is, and we could see things. But I could tell you, I'd love to have a stretch of beach.
There's infrastructure
anywhere in the Family Islands. I'm good with that.
Yeah. We're looking for infrastructure.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, lack of infrastructure in the Family Islands.
That's true.
You know, another thing you have to look at.
Yeah.
If it isn't there, we're not going to venture into it. I think the banks are the same.
Yeah.
And I think the banks lose a lot of money because they, you said we know who the banker was, who you were talking about. They pulled out of the Family Islands because this is the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get 30 lots off of the road, but there's no roads into the properties. Yeah. There's no power, there's no water, there's no cable.
We had a property, and I just talked briefly about it. We had a property in Abaco.
Mm-hmm.
Gentleman defaulted, and we had to sell the property. When we sent the appraiser down there, he called back and he said, I can't get to the property. He says, too much potholes. He says, there's craters. The road is filled with it. I can't get to it.
Mm-hmm.
He turned back. Wow. We had to go and get someone else to go and walk through the craters
for
a couple of miles just to go and assess this property.
Yeah.
You know, it was in the middle of nowhere. And then again, you also have generational property.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of these things you have to take into consideration. Yeah. So that's why we don't venture into family islands, unfortunately.
Yeah. See, so Freeport we think of Nassau. It from the construction aspect. Yeah, and you're taking it from that. So I'm glad to hear this.
We're going a little
but I'm glad
off,
to hear this.
Yes.
Now, before we go to dash to our break, I just want to plug our sponsors for the show.
Okay.
We'll see them after we come back. So we have a couple of new sponsors that we want to highlight. And thank you everyone much for sponsoring Nailed It. We wouldn't be on the air plus 1 year on, I think it was for September.
Last Friday.
Yeah, last Friday. We would have celebrated 1 year as Nailed It, the show. Mm-hmm. Our sponsors this week are RM Caribbean, CBS Pro Store. We also have Veritas Consultants, Trusco, Sebastian Alliance Group, Colleen Insurance, Family Guardian Insurance, representing us in our studio, Bahamas Development Bank, and Sherwin Williams. When it comes to your DIY project, the finish matters. Sherwin Williams paints give you a coverage, color, and durability you can trust. From the primers, especially coating, Sherwin Williams has the paint to get your DIY job done right the first time. Your project is only as good as the paint you use. Choose Sherwin Williams and do it right. We go to break, and after this, we'll close out with some of the exciting products that you get from Family Guardian.
When we started Stormframe Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Stormframe have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
right, so we are back, and I think it's time that we give everybody the phone numbers that they can call in at. You could reach us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Our Family Islands, 300-3720. The text line is powered by BTC. It's 422-4796. Feel free to call us and be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, and ask some questions about, you know, because there should be a lot of calls about this whole residential mortgage by Family Guardian.
I would think so.
Because it was kind of new to me, but obviously persons who have mortgages with Family Guardian, they know about it, and other persons in the space may have heard about it. But now we got Martin Trico on air talking about it. Martin, give us a rundown of some of the key things that a typical home owner should look for, whether they're purchasing a home or buying a home with a mortgage. And I think people don't ask that question. What should you look for in a mortgage?
Well, the first thing you need to do is get pre-qualified. You call Family Guardian. And we have a simple process, too. I can either communicate with you via email or over the telephone. You don't have to personally come in to see me.
That's the difference with the banks. You have to come in.
Again, the difference between the banks and us. So I have a simple 7 questions that you answer. You respond to me. Once you send respond to those questions, I can do a full evaluation on you.
Really?
And basically tell you what you can borrow, interest rate, terms, and how much you have to come up with out of pocket, which will include your down payment and your closing costs. Mm-hmm. So by the time you finished, you know what you have to have saved. So when you come and produce your application form, we know you have these funds on an account. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of individuals come to the financial institution and don't have all of their money saved.
No.
Right.
So if you don't have that money all put together, you can't move forward with the application.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, of course, you have time to go and save that money, put that money together. So by the time you come back, that 10-day process is finished in no time because you have all of the criteria in place. So, but a lot of individuals are just, they're also attracted to interest rates.
Yes, that's okay? The next conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our interest rates can vary. And we won't speak about the actual numbers here. You give us a call, we'll sit down and discuss rates. It's all dependent upon qualifying. Don't fall for these low rates that the financial institutions tell you, oh, we can offer you this, we can offer you that. You don't actually know that until you go and visit them. And then they'll actually tell you the real rate. All right? A lot of folks are interested. They always say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so is offering this rate, so-and-so is offering that rate. Okay, did you get that in writing? No.
And it's probably in brackets, if as long as you do A, B, C, and D.
Correct.
Then you would get it.
You have to meet certain criteria to get a really, really low rate. All right, you see my printout here. Now, this is not actually all of our rates. All right, this is just for the criteria purposes. But our rates are as high as certain amount and as low as certain amount. Okay. So, but provided
the
you
the bigger
meet,
the risk you are, the higher the rate will be, right?
Debt service ratios are very important. What I always advise individuals, when you come to take on a mortgage, make sure you have limited to no debt. No debt especially. Outside of you taking on a mortgage, because a mortgage is a lifetime, 25 years to 15 years on a lot. So when you're coming for those types of facilities, make sure you have very limited debt because those payments are going to play a factor in qualifying.
So what about things like school fees, like you've got kids in school and then you've got kids in university, those are debts.
Right. So that's why the debt service ratio, overall debt service is 45% across the board, any financial institution.
Okay.
But a lot of individuals have exceeded that amount because they have a consumer loans.
What's happening is cars.
We spoke about credit bureau earlier when we first met. We need more enforcement with the credit bureau and, of course, credit ratings, reference letters, things like that, because a lot of individuals go to financial institutions and don't declare certain debt that they have. which is a detriment to them because when they take on a mortgage facility, they realize now I can't pay my mortgage and pay a consumer loan. Mm-hmm. Or they take on a mortgage and then they go and pile up on consumer loans.
Yeah.
So they're over indebted. And of course, which one do they focus on first?
First.
The consumer loan, mm-hmm. because they figure, oh, the mortgage company will give me a break. No, no, you have to be careful.
That's the mortgage company may not give you a break and then you end up homeless.
Right. And you know, I'll pay you next month or whatever. No, you have to be careful. Mortgage should be number one. That's the roof over your head and your children, mm-hmm. your family. So, of course, you're paying for school fees. That's why the debt ratio is low, to make sure you can afford those school fees.
Right.
But that's where budgeting comes in. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't know how to budget, I'm not a financial advisor, but mm-hmm. I know, again, I mm-hmm. know enough where I can tell you, listen, you know, make sure you put aside this, you make sure you put it aside, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. always have a savings.
Right.
A lot of individuals like to come and say, well, oh, I have $100,000saved. What can I get? Okay. Or I have life insurance for $100,000. How much can I get? Don't use all of your liquid cash. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep your liquid cash for emergencies. Mm-hmm. You can use a portion of it to cover your down payment, to cover your closing costs. And then you might want to use some to buy some furniture and things like that. Mm-hmm. But don't borrow to get these things.
No.
All right? Because then that affects your debt servicing. And then you don't qualify for a mortgage anymore. Okay? So that's why a lot of people don't have homes, or that's why a lot of people lose their homes. Mm-hmm. Because their focus mm-hmm. is on the wrong things.
Right. So you're saying that also that there's people who get a mortgage and then overextend after they have a mortgage.
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of young individuals already have debt, and it's mainly mm-hmm. consumer loans. So that can affect them, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, a lot of folks call in and say, well, how much do I qualify for? Young individuals, mm-hmm. and their salaries aren't up to, I would say, up to scale yet.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And they you can tell where they're a little disappointed because I wanted to get a house, but you just started working.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You need to save. Just mm-hmm. sit down and save your money, and at the same time, work hard at your job, get a promotion, mm-hmm. get an increase in your salary. The more money, the better. Mm-hmm. Okay? A lot of individuals also come, I don't know if you've ever heard this, excuse me, husband and wife will say, okay, I only want my husband to take out the mortgage.
To take out the mortgage. Mm-hmm.
And my wife will take care of the other debt.
Mm-hmm.
No. Don't do that, okay? The more money that you combine together, the better the house you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you were talking about cost. Mm-hmm. If you're going to charge $400,000 mm-hmm. and then someone will put a lower bid for $200,000. Mm-hmm. That's the reason they take the $200,000 mm-hmm. because that's all they qualify for, because she's only using my husband's salary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But did you think about putting your two salaries together?
Mm-hmm.
And then you could afford more. But at the same time, the both of your salaries can also pay those other loans
mm-hmm.
because the debt service ratio is only 45%.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have sufficient money to cover all of your other bills and also save some money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a lot of, sorry to say, but a lot of individuals don't go that route because they lack the education.
Mm-hmm.
No one has taught them. So, excuse me.
So that's one thing they should teach in school, even if it's just simple.
Budgeting, yes.
Because we all get out of school and you get a job, right? Even if you're getting $100 a week, you got to figure out what you're going to do with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody's taught you how to do it, I might just go out and buy a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, and then it disrupts your opportunity to purchase a home.
Absolutely.
Further down the road. So let's look at something difficult, right? We do have, our population is younger than older. And they do desire to have homes. And we know that it's a national challenge affording homes today. How do you advise a young person to make the preparatory steps that they may not be at the income level? And you mentioned part of it before. But how important is setting a goal of owning a home?
Well, finding land is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So start off with purchasing the land.
Yeah.
Well, saving first,
saving
but of course, start off with purchasing the land and then bill out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've done this for years.
Especially
I've also,
up to belt course.
Yes.
Yes.
You bill up to belt course out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive. You should know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive. It's when you're putting on the roof and the windows and all that sort
then
of stuff,
you
it gets expensive. You can come back and borrow that money.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By that time, you've built up equity in the mm-hmm. property because right. you didn't borrow to take it to the belt mm-hmm. course.
Right.
You only owe on the land.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, while you were building at a belt course, your principal was dropping.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building up more and more equity. Mm-hmm. The more equity you have, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come back to borrow again to finish, you don't have to borrow as
much.
Right.
And you're not in a whole lot of debt.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what my daughter did. She paid
yeah.
cash for the property, and then she built her house up to belt course, and then she went to another institution.
Right.
Not a bank, but another institution.
I had a young lady stop me the other day, and she said, you know, well, I like to live in the West. You know, I can't blame her. She said, you know,
I like to live in
I want West. A nice I want a nice property and I want to live in a nice area. Okay, but right now you might not be able to afford that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, in the future, as your income grows,
mm-hmm.
you have one piece of property. You could use that now as an investment property
an
to
equity.
Get something
mm-hmm.
in the West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but planning, you know.
Yeah, you have
yeah.
to plan it.
Yeah. So again, you gotta teach them how to budget and how to plan. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of individuals, especially the young individuals, do not know how to plan
right.
well,
and budget.
Let me ask you this question, though. And you're speaking to individuals here who understand about mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Family Guardian has mortgages. Bank A has mortgages. Bank B has mortgages. Bank C has mortgages. There's several options. How does a young person who never had a mortgage differentiate why it's better to deal with Family Guardian against this bank, that bank, and another bank? They just walk in and think a mortgage is great, I'll get one, where there could be some some factors that kind of separate how hard it is to pay over 25 years or how long you're paying or how much, you know, there's other factors. Speak
well,
to that.
You have the opportunities to pay on the principal.
You do.
I love that.
Without
yeah.
penalty.
Without
yeah,
penalty.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Certain institutions
mm-hmm.
still don't charge a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
We do charge a penalty. We initiated a penalty
mm-hmm.
for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But with our types of facilities, we just need you to let us know ahead of time if
mm-hmm.
you intend to pay us off early.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you notify us, the penalty does not come into play.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
But if you come to us one day and say, here's a check for $100,000
mm-hmm.
or $20,000, $50,000 to pay off my debt,
mm-hmm.
you will be penalized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What is happening is right now a lot of individuals are going from one bank to the next.
To the next bank, yes.
Right. And again, some financial institutions don't do construction mortgages.
Mortgages, yeah.
So they will send them to us,
mm-hmm.
right.
build a house, and then tell them once the house is built, you have equity.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back to us and we'll pay that loan off
mm-hmm.
and give you more money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that make financial sense? If you already put yourself in debt, you spent money for closing costs
mm-hmm.
to get that mortgage, then you go to another institution and says, okay, come, I'll pay that on you more money. Why are you putting yourself in more debt? You know?
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that, oh, I need it. Do you really need that money? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But
some people don't realize that if you were, let's say your mortgage is $2,000 a month, right? And every other, let's say during the month, you could actually put $500 down on the principal. If you did that for probably 3 or 4 years, it wouldn't be long before your mortgage is paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
There's also the saying, I've never tried it, but you pay 13 monthly payments a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can reduce your term by 10 years.
By just 13 monthly payments a year.
13 monthly payments.
Yeah.
Rather than
on
12.
A 25-year mortgage,
mm-hmm.
that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can reduce it by 10 years.
Yeah.
Because
so that's only one mortgage payment.
Yeah.
That's only one mortgage
yeah.
payment.
One
Think
extra payment a year.
And it's 10 years less on your mortgage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to find an institution, speak about penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to talk about interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that service.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person really sitting down there and educating you? Is that person really concerned about
mm-hmm.
what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they just building numbers for the company?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right? Because that's what you're having a lot in these financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They have a quota to meet.
Yeah.
And if they don't meet that quota, I don't go on the cruise. I don't know if they give cruises anymore, but I don't go on the cruise and I don't go on this and I don't go on that.
They
don't get a reward.
They do give some incentives.
Right.
They do give some incentives.
Yeah.
Well, we borrowed money just to finish the house, and it was like a little less than $200,000. And by the time we finished paying that after 25 years, it was $600 and something thousand dollars.
Yeah.
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 It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Had I known.
And anyway. We also give you an amortization. Mm-hmm. We show you what your interest is going to be once that 25-year period ends.
Mm. And that was when interest rates were high. It was like 10.5%.
Right. So it's a little over double now. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, if you keep the mortgage for 25 years, mm-hmm. you've paid almost double.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you pay it off early, you save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you can bring any lump sum into us and put it on the account.
Right.
But of course, you also have to beat central bank guidelines. Mm-hmm. Don't just come with $20,000 in cash or whatever. You have to declare it.
Smelling like salt water.
You have to declare it.
Shoot, I was going to bring the bag. I can't bring the bag anymore.
Yeah.
I ruined it for you.
Yeah. You have those opportunities. You know. I mean, those are the things that you can advantages as to come into going to a bank.
Yeah.
And doing these things because mm-hmm. now I think they're a little pressed building mm-hmm. new clientele.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They're being aggressive.
Yeah. They're being aggressive, but not everyone is qualified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
And I think a lot of the persons like in government, how they keep talking about where there's not enough houses, there's not enough mm-hmm. places for people to be. I don't think they also understand that a lot of these people have already gone to banks to see what they qualify for, and they do not qualify for it.
So they're not
in a house of their own because that they just can't. They're not in a house because they don't qualify. So they rent. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Not everybody wants to be a homeowner,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So lend money to Leonard to build his complex so that he can rent to them. I'm just joking.
What is a low-cost home cost?
I like that.
What is a low-cost home cost? $180,000, right?
We had the Minister of
Housing.
Housing on yesterday at our luncheon. Mm-hmm. On average, last time I got the numbers from him, a three-bed, two-bath house, low-cost house, is just under $200,000.
Okay. Wow. How many people can qualify for $200,000?
And that's with property and everything? That's building the house and the property? Under $200,000?
Yeah.
Three bed, two bath?
They have a slightly bigger one. That's just about 800. I think that's the one he told me is about 800 and something odd square foot.
Okay.
And you get one about 1,100 square foot, and I think that's like 225.
Wow.
Really?
We couldn't build it.
That's a lot.
But you know, back in the day when you're getting a house for 145, you're not getting
property's got to be $60,000.
Yeah, property's at least $50,000.
I don't even know where you can get property, to be honest, for $60,000.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
So you're looking like $90,000 to $120,000.
You're looking at $90,000.
I don't know. I guess the government is finding property where they're able to buy cheaply or something.
And that's the advantage they have. Yeah. They're giving you a deep discount on the land.
Yeah.
You can't buy the land for the price they're selling.
They're taking
back of sale.
Yeah, wow.
I tell you that's so when you take the property price out, that even if you're at $225,000, take $50,000 out, you're getting the house built for $175,000. That's tight.
It is.
And no one else commercially is doing that. So that's why the government list
is
so long.
I couldn't build it for that. I'd have to stay home and bake cookies. I couldn't do it.
And look at your closing costs. That's almost $20,000 you have to come up with out of your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than $20,000 on $200,000 to $250,000 home,
and then people forget
that high.
Yeah,
wow,
2%, 2.5%.
Yeah, I mean, provided you get exempted from real property government stamp tax and stuff like that, but you still have to pay insurance.
You still have to pay for your water hookup and your electricity hookup. Sometimes, I mean, if you're underground, you're looking at anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000. Just for your infrastructure for that. And if you haven't put that money aside, you're going to be living in that house with candles for a while.
Right.
You know? Wow.
I should point out to Family Guardian.
This is an interesting show. I'm glad you came on.
Yes, Family Guardian does provide 95% financing for first-time property owners.
Wow.
Residential
I like that.
Purchases. Mm-hmm. That's either a residence or a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm.
5% down, plus you pay all of your closing costs.
Oh, that's
okay.
Cool.
So, again, you don't have a lot of institutions that are
still offering that. No.
They're asking for 10% and 20%.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so it's making it even more difficult for persons to qualify.
I think you need to come back on the show to reiterate
this
point.
Yeah. Yes, yes. There's a lot more to talk about.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad you came on. You've shed a lot of light, I'm sure, to the people listening. And even though they don't call, they're listening.
They're listening.
Because we find out after the show.
After the show, So give me a closing thought, Mr. Trico. Family Guardian, the best mortgage lender out there that people hardly know about. That's what I like to coin it for you.
Yeah. Yes. You can reach us at 396 4040 or our direct line. Well, sorry, our direct line is 396-4040. Our corporate office is 396-4000. Mm-hmm. You can reach me at 396-4045. And we also have an office in Freeport, Miss Demetria Andrews. She's almost as good as I am, but you know.
Uh-oh.
She's working on it.
She's your colleague, yeah.
Hope she's not listening.
Yeah.
just teasing.
You get the same service that you get here in Nassau.
Oh, that's great.
Same products. We do the same 95% financing. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I said, a quick turnaround.
I think that's
amazing.
Yeah, I think
turnaround.
That's super.
Yeah,
yes,
but
that
you,
is super.
You have to have all of your
all
documentation
the
in,
a row,
in place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have a copy of the document. It's not a
yes.
lot of stuff.
No,
but
it's not.
But you have those seven things, you're good to go. Yeah. It's only
right.
seven things. You didn't
right.
lie.
And if,
yeah.
if
seven
anybody,
things for requirements. That's
yeah,
it.
Anybody listening who didn't remember the numbers, you can always get in touch with our administrator
yes.
at
yeah.
admin@BahamianContractors.com.
Yeah.
And Donna would be able to help you with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
And
yeah.
before
yes.
we get off mm-hmm. the air, because we're certainly out of time, we want to remind all the construction community,
oh,
the
yes.
realtors, bankers, insurance companies, that on October 3rd, we are hosting our
Mix and Mingle
fun night party night
at
the Yacht Club.
Yeah,
we're going to be on the water
club.
Having
yeah.
a good time, a couple of drinks, and some great food.
Uh-huh.
And we invite everyone to come out and join us there. It's only $50. You could buy your tickets online, and it's food and drink, and you can enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
so, please,
so
come out.
We're also offering food and drink while supply lasts, so come first, serve
come
first.
Early, yeah.
No, so we figure
don't
we,
come strolling in at 10 o'clock and you're looking
yeah,
for a plate.
I figure,
probably not going
to
be there.
I figure
not
we
there,
got right. an hour and a half to 2 hours
yeah.
where it should
yeah.
be able to be free. Because
what
we
yeah,
did is we paid
there.
In advance for that to
yeah.
make sure that,
uh-huh.
Yeah, we
yeah.
wanted to do that as a
yeah.
special.
Oh,
a special for
yeah.
our persons.
Yeah.
And
so
then
we hope to see you there.
We're having a raffle too.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody who gets a ticket.
Great price.
Yeah, everybody who gets a ticket will
get a
raffle ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is normally we give things like saws and drills and hammers. And anyway, we've been doing that for the last year. And I said, no, you know, contractors, it's hard physically and it's hard mentally to be a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to feed the soul. So all of our gifts, with the exception of one, are restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is...
And a stay. I think
yeah.
we got a stay, too.
Yeah.
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 We have some great raffle prizes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I think everybody will enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Yes. Right
good.
Around the pool at the Yacht Club. It should
yeah.
be amazing. Yeah.
yeah.
And we have music and everything. And somebody's trying to tell us it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
it's time to get out of here. So, we thank everyone
Chris wants to go home.
Thank everyone for another wonderful edition
yes.
of Nail It. We thank
yes.
Family Guardian for being our sponsors.
Yes,
and
so.
Mr. Trico for coming and giving us a wealth of experience and knowledge about residential mortgages and insurances in general by Family Guardian. I certainly learned something great
I
and interesting today.
Yes.
And I may be giving you a call for a second home, but we will see about that a little later.
All right.
And closing out our show, we'd like to thank all of our sponsors again, starting with we have ARM Caribbean, CBS ProStar, ART Development, Bahamas Safety Solutions, Veritas Consultant, Trustco, Sebastian Lyons, Kalina Insurance, Family Guardian Insurance,
Bahamas Development Bank. Right?
And also Sherwin Williams Paint Store. When
yes.
it comes to your DIY project, the finish matters. Sherwin Williams Paints give you coverage, color, and durability you can trust. That's it for our show, and we'll
okay.
see you next week.
See you next week.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. 103 Robinson Road.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.